Good afternoon. It's good to be back here. Thank you so very much for your prayers. We traveled this morning and preaching the gospel in Bay City. Went real well. Good to see those who are back this afternoon. Thank you, Brother Stroud, for filling in for me on this morning. If you're visiting with us this afternoon, we thank you for being here. And we pray today you will receive with meekness God's engrafted word, for is able to save your soul. Know that Jesus did hang on the cross. Amen. He suffered on that cross, shed his blood that will wash your sins away if you believe in him. If you believe it, that he died and was buried and rose again, that's called the gospel. And obey that gospel by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Tonight, I'm going to continue part seven. I'm not sure how long this is going to go, but I'm going to go into them. Feel like I dealt with it in depth. And so we're looking at PTSD, post-traumatic, for those who may be coming. I think it's important to do a brief recap each time to get you back to where I need you to be in order to deal with the next portion of it. In a post-traumatic stress disorder, many people, and we're in a time here at this congregation, we're doing suicide awareness, and one of the major causes of suicide awareness is post-traumatic stress disorder. And so post-traumatic stress disorder is a disorder that's related to a past trauma that happened in a person's life. And as a result of the trauma, then that person then has to live with those memories. They have to live with what has happened to them, and they have to deal with that. And if they don't deal with it, it can cause them to commit suicide. And a lot of other things, live lives that are miserable. And I'm of the opinion that there are those people today can be helped if they recognize that they have PTSD in the sense that they have a spiritual disorder, which is the reason they can't deal with their past trauma. So when you get spiritual order in place, then you can deal with the trauma. So when you're looking at, what I'm talking about is relieving the stress by becoming spiritual. That's what I'm saying. And I think that one of the things that you have to be able to identify why you have, if you have post-traumatic stress disorder. Plus, then you must be able to see. I also have post-traumatic spiritual disorder. That's why my stress is still in as it is. And so when you look at that, it occurs from a pain of some sort, that something very painful has happened in your life. And I think a lot of cases with the church, when it comes to spiritual disorders, it's not so much related to war, memories of war and things of that, or some kind of bad accident or something like that. It's more interpersonal thing, like a husband and a wife that husband that's abusive and his wife has been verbally, mentally, and sexually abused, or a child who was molested by her daddy, or a relationship that went bad when one was unfaithful to the other, and they have the pain to deal with those things, or all these physical things, rapes and people who have been abused and all these type of things, or just relationships who went bad, whether it was a business relationship or whether it was a church relationship. Some people have a real stress out over attending a certain congregation because it just tenses them up because they have this trauma and remembrance of something that happened in a relationship there. And so I think that when you're looking at spiritual disorder, it's more related to interpersonal relationships. And that's why we got a lot of marriages and divorce courts and a lot of issues with people trying to resolve relationships, or not speaking, or being bitter toward each other, or not communicating anymore, have nothing to do with their father. If you look at the courts, when you look at the courts on TV, when they start talking about, is that your daddy? You know, follow me. They waiting on the test result. And you listen, those people have real PTSD. I mean, they do not want to have anything to do with that. That you wasn't there for me. You were my daddy. You wasn't there. I can't stand you. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I want to know if the DNA is true or false, because that's traumatized. Know that you were supposed to be my daddy and you did me the way you did me. So then, and you see though, I mean, classic PTSD, I don't have nothing to do with it. And so that's what I'm saying. And then you have those relationships and marriages that are torn apart because one spouse was unfaithful to the other spouse, and there's been an ongoing infidelity, and those type of things happen, or something happened where you got married young and you wasn't ready, and you got into a relationship. Now you realize you're into a relationship you can't get out of, and because you're a Christian, you don't want to, you can't just divorce. And so now you're living with that decision. You're living with everything that comes with it. The rascal wasn't your man. I mean, he wasn't your type. Y'all don't know. Now you learn you ain't even got nothing in common. Now you start sleeping in different rooms, and you're stressed out over when he comes home, when she comes home. Oh, I got to deal with her again. Now you got stress in your life, and you also have a spiritual disorder because you haven't dealt with it. That's what I'm saying. You got the sore, the painful event, whatever it is, and then you have the treatment that comes from it. When you have spiritual disorder, you got this cold-blooded treatment that you'll give to the people. You're gonna be cold-blooded to them because everything is cold. You can't be nice to them. You can't say you love them. You can't hug them. You can't speak to them. You don't take their calls. You hang up on them. You don't want to talk to them. You just got all this cold-blooded, dark-sided treatment. That's what I talked about. And then you got everybody that's in your life or in your family, such as, for example, a husband and a wife who struggle, fighting and fussing and fighting all the time. Then the kids are in the room hearing this stuff. Then they become the victims of your PTSD. And then you have all the people in your life that are affected by your behavior and the things you are doing. You traumatize them. Then they grow up with PTSD. Guess what they are doing? The same thing daddy did. So the little boy looks just like his daddy. He become a woman, a abuser. He talked bad to his girl. And all that. He seen that in his daddy. Amen. And that's just one example. There's many, many more others. I'm just trying to roll back through this. And so then I say, you got to diagnose this thing. You got to be able to look in the mirror and say, do I have spiritual disorder? How did I get it? Was it one of the things that happened in the cycle? Because daddy was like that, I'm like that. Because mama was like that, I'm like that. And now you're going to do your children like that? If you don't identify that you have this spiritual disorder, your children going to look just like you. Because you're going to traumatize them with the way you are. And because you never got fixed. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. And, you know, I really believe that this is a major problem in the Lord's kingdom. It's a major problem with people in the church. Many people walk into the church building on Sunday, look happy, look like they're okay, look good on the outside, miserable. Miserable in their house, miserable in their life. Things are going on in their life that they have not dealt with. And until you identify what spiritual disorder is, which I did last week, when you have bitterness and anger and wrath and vengeance and you want to get them back and you want to retaliate and you can't manage, you don't have no love, you can't be kind, you can't be gentle to them, then you have a spiritual disorder. Amen. And so that's what I'm saying. Until you see yourself, you're not going to change. Because most people settle with the fact that I'm okay like this. No, but I'm saying you're not okay like that. I'm saying you have a problem. And you're going to have to deal with your problem. Amen. And then today I'm talking about, much of the problem, get my board up. We ain't got the projectors running? Or can we do it for this part? Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. That's all right. I can deal with that. Don't worry about it. Just visualize. So you, from your time you're born, you live till you die. So everything in your past today, if you are whatever age you are in the past, is all of your memory. See, you have no memory in the future. You have memory of your past. You remember where you was at 30 minutes ago. But 30 minutes before that, you didn't remember. You couldn't remember where you never gone. You follow what I'm saying? So now the person with PTSD must deal with the post memories. You have to deal with memory, and the memory of trauma is what haunts most people who have clinical PTSD. That's one of the warning signs when you look at suicide. When you look at suicide awareness, some of the warning signs is that they have thinking going on. They're talking about it. They're planning. They have things to try to cover up the pain, substance abuse. They have purposelessness. They have anxiety, agitation, unable to sleep. The mind is rolling. The mind is moving. They're trapped in this memory, everything that happened to them, the trauma, the hopelessness. How do I stop the pain? What's going to happen? I withdraw from everyone. I'm withdrawing from my friends. I get anger, rages. I'm trying to deal with the pain. It's reckless. It's impulsiveness. It's mood changes because of all of memory. It's all memory. So what they want to do is end the memory. To end the memory, I end life. Y'all follow me? Why are we wearing these? I don't have mine. I got to get mine too. It's amazing that I'm right in the middle of this subject and everything just kept popping up with suicide. In my research, in my study, how I was looking at what is it, what is memory? What does memory do? Why memory? Why do we have memory? I was reading one article that said traumatic memories, the management of traumatic memories is important when treating mental health disorders such as past traumatic stress disorder. Traumatic memories can cause life problems. That's where I'm at. That's why I say I'm on to something. Even to the individuals who do not meet, you don't think about this, the diagnostic criteria for a mental health disorder. Think about what they're saying. People have mental issues and don't realize. They will never call themselves mental. I'm a mental case. And what they're saying is because of the memory, it becomes a mental health disorder. Now, then he says, several psychotherapists have been developed that change, weaken, or prevent the formation of traumatic memories. Watch this. Pharmacological methods for erasing traumatic memories are currently the subject of active research. Now, before I studied, they had already wrote this. The Bible is right. Amen. That's what I'm saying. The Bible had answers to this before man wrote this. The ability to erase specific traumatic memories, even if possible, would create additional problems. Wow. Y'all ain't with me. Y'all with me? And so it would not necessarily benefit the individual. I was thinking that if they erased it, they were better off. Mm-hmm. The psychological methods that they have come up with to erase it, what they're doing effectively saying that man can't come up with a way to do it. I know that. I knew that. I knew that before the psychos started studying. I don't know why they call them psycho. I guess they're crazy enough to study this stuff. Lord, that's why they'll help me right over here. Anyway, maybe I'm psycho. I don't know. But that was my point before I read this, is that what's going on in PTSD, the spiritual disorder, is they want the memory to go away. And that's vanity. What are you saying, brother? That's vexation. That traumatizing our body. It's a vexation of spirit. It's the grabbing of wind. It's impossible to do. And that's what these men came up with. They didn't give you a biblical answer, but I'm going to give it to you. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, see, man can do what man can do. God can do what man cannot do. Listen to the book in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 18.
This is the covenant that I will make with
now,
them after those days.
Now, he said, this is the covenant that I will make to them after these days.
Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Uh-huh. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Now, what did he say?
And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more.
God can do it. See, the day we get baptized, the day God remember everything, I don't remember none of your past no more. Y'all see that? See, God said, I remember no more. And where remission
of these is, there's no more offering of sin.
He said, you don't have to offer nothing for your past no more. Because my answer to your past is, I'm going to let y'all know that I'm not going to remember nothing you done wrong. Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Amen. You see, now Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 12, verse 13, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We ought to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 13, for God shall bring where? Every work into judgment. Notice what he says. With every secret thing. See, the benefit of being baptized and living with God, no secrets come up on the day of judgment. See, God remembers those who didn't get baptized. He remembers everything you done wrong and all of that. All the stuff you thought you got away with secretly, he remembers all that. Now, so what are you saying, brother? Like, so we're not God. So God allow humans, those of us, he allow us to remember. If God will forgive our sins to the point of no remembrance, why in the world does God allow us to remember our past trauma? He can forgive me, but he leave me. I remember everything I did growing up. Even though he said I forgot it, he leave me remembering it. Yeah, now, if Brett Kavanaugh actually did it to that woman, he know. It don't matter if he say he unequivocally, uncategorically denied. Maybe you do, but you know, she know, and God know. Amen. He ain't got no amnesia. And then if she lying, she lying. He remember the truth. He ain't did nothing to her. It can go both ways. Memory serves in positives and negatives. So that, but here's my point is that God allow us to remember. How to deal with trauma is our question. How to deal with the memory of the trauma. That's what I'm after tonight, for a few minutes, afternoon rather. Here's how. We deal with the memory by understanding God's purpose for allowing us to have memory and to remember our past. So again, suicidal people are wanting to end the pain associated with memory. That's why they have flashbacks and recalls. Can't sleep because the memory is there. What the person that raped me or what they done to me. How many of you lost sleep over a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or a husband and wife activity? You know, you just lose sleep. Just remember, I can't believe you said that to me. I can't. Just a word. You know, that came from my wife, mom. I mean, you said that to me? And I'm up all night thinking about that. Why would you say something like that? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, I'm trying to get down to you holy people, so I'll let you know you got some issues too. Some of you holier than thou, they ain't never done nothing. But all of us got memory. Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. You see? And so the pain is related to the memory because I don't understand why. Okay, let's go to Romans 5. Let's get an understanding. Why, God, would you leave us remembering this stuff? Why would he want a little girl who got molested by her daddy to remember that? Why would he want that? What is the purpose? Listen to in verse number 1 of Romans 5. He said, therefore, being what?
Justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, this is coming to believers. We believers. Now, the way we have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. We understand what that means. You know, when you have peace with God, it means you are forgiven and everything. Your relationship is good with God. Therefore, you get peace from God, and that's the peace of God. And now in verse number in verse 1, he said, it's through Jesus Christ. So when God forgive us through obedience to the gospel, when we get baptized, something happens. And it's found in Romans chapter 2 and verse 15. And listen what happened. So you remember, when a person walks in and they have a life full of sin and they want to make change, what they're doing is they're remembering all the bad stuff I done and I need forgiveness. That's what they want. In Romans 2:15, the Bible says there,
which show the works of the law written in their hearts.
Written in their where?
Their hearts.
Where memory is stored is in the mind. Notice what he says.
Their conscience also bearing witness.
See, God put a conscience in us. There's purpose of memory. There's something called conscience. Notice this. What is the conscience doing? Bearing witness.
Their thoughts, the mean where are
thoughts at? The thoughts are in the brain.
Or
in the mind.
One another.
In the heart. We have thinking going on. We got memory. We have a conscience up there. And he said, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. So what he's saying, before I get baptized, all that stuff I done wrong, I'm feeling guilty about it. My mind is troubled, boy. And you just, oh, Lord, I mean, I know I need to make change. I hear the man is just talking to me and feel like it just, I can't wait to baptism because I need this guilt to go away. And so when you get baptized, you go down and get buried, and you come up and say, oh, man, I feel like a new man. All you saying is, my conscience is clear. So now, God gives us the conscience to make sure we know when we're guilty. If I didn't have memory, I'd never have guilt. So I got to have memory to have the guilt. But he gave us a relief to it. When we open through Jesus Christ, I can be forgiven. Where he said, I remember it more. So guilt goes away, and my conscience says, you're excused. You okay? And you walk away and say, man, I feel like a man. I remember that day I got baptized. I feel like a new man. How many of y'all remember the day you got baptized? That because your conscience, all that stealing and cussing and stuff you were doing before you got baptized, dope smoking, drinking, and what else were y'all doing? All that fornicating and all that stuff you were doing, and you finally got in here and you got baptized, and you feel good about it because you say God has forgiven me of everything. And that means once my conscience is clear, I'm at peace with God. So could I ever be at peace with God if I never felt guilty? No. Could I ever feel guilty if I didn't have memory? No. First point. Verse 2. Go back to Romans 5. Am I going too fast? My sister wanted you to slow down. Verse 2.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
All this is through Jesus Christ. We have access through faith and grace. Come on. We know what that means. Come on, let's go. By whom also we have access to faith and the grace wherein we stand. Notice what he says. We rejoice in what? Rejoice in what? Hope. Watch this. Of the glory of God. Hope is certainty not yet realized. So what it's saying, okay, if I have memory of my past, no, he did it for me. If I have memory of my past, you got it up? Yeah. Here's my life. Here's my past. And what's in my past? Memory. So if I have memory of a deliverance, God got me through when I in my past, I know I'm headed to die. But here's that my memory says, you know what? If God got me through then, he can get me through here, and that's called hope. So I have hope that I ain't real. Hope is certainty not yet realized. I'm certain he'll do it, but I ain't seen it. Oh, man. Trying to get us somewhere, man. I'm the only one like studying the Bible. And especially when stuff just come to you like, ooh, that's good right there. That's good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Amen. And then we sing that song, my hope is built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and what? Righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, all of the ground. See, being in Christ gives us a hope the world can't have. So we have a hope that is certain. I'm certain it's going to work out okay, but I ain't seen it yet. Now, let's go back to Romans 5:3. He said, not so only, but we glory in tribulation. Now watch this.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
All right, watch this. He's saying now, if you glory in hope, how did I do that? But anyway, if you glory in hope, then he said, you can have that same glory in tribulation. Really? What is tribulation? The definition. A word used for pressure, like that of press squeezing fluids out of olives and grapes. Post-trauma is called tribulation in the scripture. What we call trauma, the Bible calls tribulation. It's the pressures that come with life. The pressures of life that were squeezed on us, and those who are not cheering us, such as Robin Williams, it squeezed on him. The pressures of life squeezed him. What did he do? Ended it. Why did he end it? Pain. What's the difference between him and us? We glory because we understand why God letting us go through it. So this word tribulation is what we're talking about tonight, this afternoon. Verse 9, he said, now, And not only so do we glory in the pain of the event, of the trauma, he said, we also, not in verse 3, we glory
in tribulation
knowing, here's why. You can't glory unless you know. Knowing that the trauma, the tribulation is doing something for me. What is it doing? It's working
patience.
So the pain of your issue in your life, whatever it is, it's working patience. It's God has a plan for that trauma. It slows you down. It causes you to wait. Get James 1:3. Because here's the thing. It causes you to wait because when you look at it, this is right now. And what he's doing, because I gave you a post-trauma, then it's getting you paid. Slow down now because another one is coming. Another pain is coming in the future. This future right here. That's future. That's death. But this is your life. So whatever happened in this post-trauma, what he's saying is that you slow down and you're going to deal with this right now. You're going to slow down and you have some patience because you got to wait on deliverance from the pain. Mm-hmm. That make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so now, if I know, okay, as a child of God, as a spiritual person who has spiritual order, I already know the pain is to my advantage. Now, James 1:3, here's why he said it's working something.
Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience.
The trying of our faith working what?
Patience.
Patience. Trials, the trying or the tribulation or the trial is working patience. Read.
But let patience have a perfect work.
Do what?
Let patience
he said,
have a perfect
patience
work.
Patience has to have a perfect work or maturing. See, those of us who are going through things, God is letting us go through it to mature us. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Get 1 Peter 2:19 for me. I'm trying to shed it, trying to keep these short in the afternoon. Verse 19. For this is a thankworthy,
if a man for conscience toward God endure grief,
if
suffering
a man,
wrongfully.
He said, Peter
wrongfully.
Says, if a man endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it
if when ye be buffeted,
buffeting
me
like
fault,
hitting me in the stomach,
ye shall take it patiently.
Buffeting me like a fist check, a buffet. That's what he's talking about like that. If you buffet it for you, you feel the pain of the fault, you shall take it. How?
Patiently.
Wait. You got to slow down. Patiently. Those that wait on the Lord, mount on wings as eagles. But when you do well and suffer for it,
you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God.
So what is God saying? Okay, yeah, you have trauma, but are you going to wait on me? You going to take it? Now, he's got a purpose for you taking it. And watch verse 3. Romans 5:3. I'm getting down here to the last 3 points I got to make. Not only so,
but we glory in tribulations also.
Read.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Got that one.
And patience experience.
Got it. Now, all right. Now he throws something else in there. If I wait, only when the event is over will I have an experience. Now, what comes with that experience? Memory. I remember what happened, and it's now a what? Experience. Because I had to wait, and when I waited on God, he gave me an experience of what he can do when I'm in pain if I wait on him. Mm-hmm. Now, if I got the experience, I got to have the memory because I got to use the experience for a purpose. Y'all all right, ain't you? All right, watch this. The more experience you get, the more patience come with it, the stronger you're going to be. And that experience will give you more hope. And your hope is in God, not in you. All of us will experience some trauma, some tribulation, and the purpose is to build our faith in God. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. And so now, you got to live life like this. You got to live life like this, that I'm traveling, and I'm headed down a road paved with hope. Hope is never dead end. But it's through a dark drive, through dark life situations, with lights on. Oh, man. It's driving down the dark path with lights on. But it's never dead end. You just ride through it and circle by the lake of serenity. You know, you get peace through the drive. Mm-hmm. But it's still in the dark. You know what? It's still in the event of the pain. But you know, eventually, once you get through it, you're going to return back to the fast lanes of life. Mm-hmm. Y'all missed the point, didn't you? The light is God. The darkness is the pain. You got to go through it. It's called Hope Road. But if you don't drive Hope Road and go through, feel the peace that you can be at through a painful event, you ain't ready so if you drive through Hope Road and end back on the freeway, you ain't ready for the freeway if you don't understand there's another Hope Road ahead. And I'm always keep my lights on. In other words, I'm going to stay with God. That making sense? We have to go through storms to deal with the trauma to say we have an experience. If God took the memory away, you would have no experience. Here's the last point I want to make. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. The purpose of the memory here. God has a purpose. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, blessed be God.
Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort.
Now, where we get the comfort at?
God.
Remember the darkness? Who's there with us when we're going through it?
God.
Who's giving us comfort driving down Hope Road?
God.
Is it a dead end? Never. Because God is never going to leave you. That's what he said. See, when them Christians get the mindset, tribulation, the trial, we already know, man, this is going to be a faith-building experience. Mm. Amen. Notice what he said. And he said, God going to comfort us in all our tribulation. Why? Here comes the reason. That we may be able to comfort them
which are them. In any trouble.
If you got one girl who's a Christian, she got raped and she dealt with the rape, and another young girl get raped and she got through it and she made it through by holding on to God, she going to share her memory with the one who just got it. And because she can share her memory of what God did for her, how God brought her through, how God comforted her, she gonna bring glory to God. And when she brings glory to God, God said, I wanted you to have the memory. I wanted you to tell this little girl that's why you're in that girl's life, so you can bring her the comfort I gave you, and you bring me glory because I brought you through it, because you got memory, you got experience, and you waited on me.
Amen.
Boy, that's powerful stuff. See, you don't just meet Church of Christ folk accidentally. I don't believe that. I believe that some of you ought to praise God for your tribulation. Praise him for your trauma and take it and bring glory to God. That's what we do as Christians. We don't erase it. Like the man said, if you can't erase it, it's impossible to erase it. God never designed memory to be erased. He wants you to use it to his glory. And when I'm all got stress disorder, if I know it's positive, then the stress goes away and I've just become spiritual. Yeah, by the comfort we thyself, the comfort of God. Notice what he said, for the suffering of Christ abounded in us.
So our consolation also abounded by Christ.
Yeah, read on.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation.
Paul. Now Paul talking about how it felt for him when they was traumatized. They were trying to preach Jesus and they wanted to kill him and everything. Know what he's saying? Consolation, salvation was effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings
which also suffer.
Now he's saying, we suffer too as apostles. No, he says,
or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
Now, watch what he said in verse 7.
Our hope is steadfast.
I'm holding on to hope. And then he says,
knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings,
you partake of the sufferings,
so shall ye be also of the consolation.
Now, read it.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which comes to us in Asia.
I had it too. Paul got the post-trauma right here. He's saying, we were troubled. Know what he said?
We
came
in
the air. that we were pressed
out of measure.
There's that word tribulation, that pressure that life brought on them trying to preach the gospel and the people trying to kill them. And then he said, above strength, it seemed like they weren't going to make it through. And so much that
we
despaired,
even of life.
We were going to die, man. We were so stressed out over what was going on. They were hearing about them killing Christians and they're dealing with that. He said, we had the sentence
of death in ourselves.
We were giving up. We were ready to die, that we should
not trust in ourselves.
But he said,
but
God.
Which raises
the
dead. He
said, we couldn't trust in ourselves during the drive. We had to trust in God and who delivered us
from so great a debt.
Notice that. From his past. Read.
And doth deliver in whom we trust
doth
that he will yet deliver us.
He said that he did it in the past. He doth deliver that present in whom we trust he will yet. What's that? Future. Right there in that verse. Paul dealt with it. Just what I'm saying. I remember what he did. I know he's doing it now because I remember what he did then. And I know he's going to do it because I remember what he did then. So God gave memory to remember I got you through. Remember when you're going through this one. Remember I got you through that one. Remember I got you through that one. Remember I got you through that one. And I got you through that one. And I got you through that one. You remember? That's why you got memory. Now, so let me wrap it up. Purpose. If y'all writing. For allowing us to remember the trauma is this. I'm going to give you 10 of them. Number one, we learn patience by waiting on God to deliver us from the trauma. We can only gain experience after the trauma, number two. Number three, we use the experience to help others and bring glory to God, number four. To help others. Number four, when we comfort others, we bring glory to God. Number five, the memory of the trauma should cause us to grow closer to God because we need him during the trauma. Number six, we can help save others by sharing our trauma and giving God the praise for our deliverance. Number seven, the memory helps us to stay humble and faithful to the Lord. Number eight, our hope for deliverance from future trauma is the memory of deliverance from the past traumas. Number nine, the memory of the deliverance and comfort from the trauma prepares us for whatever will come in our future. Number 10, the memory of the trauma helps us learn from our mistakes, therefore preventing the same future mistakes. So is memory to our benefit?
Yes.
Yes. Did God leave memory in place for a reason? Yes. The reason we repent is because we remember what we did wrong. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. If I know I was wrong and I sinned against God, the only thing that will cause me to repent is to remember what I done wrong. God leaves memory in place to save our souls. God leaves memory in place for him to get glory. He's the creator and we the creature. And in the creature, he left memory to remind us that he's the creator. As long as we keep our eye on God, as long as we remember he's our creator, we'll serve him with memory. And those memories will be positive because all things work together for good to them that love God and according to God. So we always have hope. And therefore, we don't have to take our lives to end the pain. What we do is get closer to God. And the closer we get to God, the closer we are to the one who can remove the pain. And as closer we are to God, the closer we are to, for the very purpose of Jesus coming was to save our soul. So if he took the pain away, many of us would be lost. Many people come to God because they have a pain. That's good?
Amen.
But you know who went through the most pain? Jesus. Imagine what it did to the father to watch his son, his only begotten, to be spit on and slapped and mocked. He had to deal with, and Isaiah said, the father saw the travail. He saw the pain of his only son. He spoke when they were talking about him in baptism. He said, this is my son. When they wanted to build a church for Elijah and Moses, he intervened and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And when his son cried to him on the cross, his son was traumatized in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating blood. The fact that I will be separated from my God, my father, traumatized Jesus in that garden. He sweated blood. He was anxious. He told him, he said, my soul is troubled. But yet, because he wanted to bring glory to God, He said, not my will, but your will be done. For Jesus was going to use the trauma to bring his God, his Father, glory. And he went through the crucifixion. And when he was on the cross, he would say in traumatizing way, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew that he was getting separated from his Father by sin, but he hung on the cross, and because he was traumatized, he would clear the victims who killed him. He would forgive them. That's why he was able to say, Father, forgive them. And so Jesus, God, wants us to be have to remember to know I got you out of your sin. Now you get them out of their sins. You need to remember where you came from. You need to remember what you done wrong. You need to remember what I forgave. That's why you forgive your brother. Don't forget I forgave you. That's what God is saying. I want you to remember when you can't forgive your brother, you can't forgive your husband, you can't forgive your wife, you can't forgive your children, you can't forgive your father, you can't forgive your enemy, you can't forgive the people in the church who done you wrong, you can't forgive the man on the job, you can't forgive your boss man, or you can't forgive whoever raped you, you can't forgive the molester, you can't forgive your husband who cheated on you, you can't forgive, you got forgot. God is saying, you forgot that I forgave you. And when you know I forgave you, then you forgive them and give me the glory for forgiving you. Because that's why I want you to remember that I forgave you. Don't forget he hung on the cross for us. That's what he wants us to remember too. Remember he said, this you do in what? Remembrance. Remember what I did for you? And on the Sundays, you come back and you use your memory to bring me glory. That's why we take the Lord's Supper, to bring us back to remembrance. Good lesson.
Amen.
You're here today and you are traumatized. Man, the greatest thing you can do is let your pain bring you to God. Believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent right now of your sins. Confess him before this altar, be the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness or the clearing of your conscience. Baptism is the answer to a clear conscience. 1 Peter 3. That's what it's for. When you go down in the water grave baptism, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Everything you ever done is forgotten by God, and your conscience is clear. And then the Lord adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And as long as you stay in there, you keep driving down dark roads, but keep your lights on. Because as long as you got the lights on, there's hope. And when you get in the middle of your storm, drive by the lake of serenity and pause there for a minute and feel the peace that can only come from God. And once you feel the peace, drive on through Hope Lane, because there's a fast lane out there. And once you enter back on the freeway, life starts over again. Get ready for the next one, because you're going to have to exit again. But exit every time with your lights on. In other words, you stay with God and never leave him. If you're here today and you got pain in your life, prayers is a powerful thing. You can ask God to pray for you. You can ask us to pray for you, and the Lord answers prayers. And maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need to make a confession. Maybe you need to get baptized. We'll do that tonight. You'll do it this afternoon, rather, as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.